details at Eventbrite under Women of Courage Awards Gala, WPFW, Building a Better World, One Broadcast at a Time.
Hello, I'm David Whetstone, and you're listening to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News of Use. My name's Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Here on WPFW. It's 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C., your Pacifica affiliate, and your home of all kinds of good music and all kinds of good stuff. Looking for something, for goodness sake. You know, I should never do this thing from home in my office because I'm losing stuff. I'm all over the place. If you know me, you know I'm hyperactive and ADD as can be. So at any rate, by the way, most importantly here, I'm going to give out the phone number. It's 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. And one of the things, if you understand where I'm coming from, if you understand what I'm trying to accomplish, if anything here, I don't know that I'm even trying to accomplish anything, but here's what I always have to say. I recommend that if you disagree with me, you call, right? If you agree with me, I'm going to give you time. If you disagree, you may notice I give people who disagree with me more time because I feel like the healthiest conversation is the conversation between people who have alternative viewpoints, the people that I think you're wrong. It was interesting. I had an interesting call last week with a guy who called, disagreed with me. I thought it was wonderful. It was great. The interesting point of the call, I think, was at some point the caller said, told me all the reasons that he disagreed with me, which I thought were fantastic. I didn't agree, but this is good. And at some point he says, I don't think you should be on the air saying the things you say. And I think we ended up the call by me saying, that's the difference between you and me. We disagree. And specifically for the reason that we disagree is why I believe that you should be on the air. And in fact, I'll go one further. That's why I think WPFW is here in the first place, right? There are people, unfortunately, and this is the way this country is gone, where people, the only thing they want to do, they want to turn on a news channel where people say the things that agree with them. They want to turn on the YouTube channel where people say things that agree with them. They want to listen to people sit around screaming about how right they are and then talk about the enemy. They don't even know they exist without talking about the evil people, right? Oh, the other group is bad, and they know they exist. They exist by talking about the other group. And I have to say this. The gentleman that called last week and said, I disagree with you strongly, I hope he calls again. I hope he's a regular caller. Then we can have a discussion. Maybe we can both learn something. But one thing I hope that gentleman learns, and that is, I truly believe in the First Amendment. And the First Amendment protects unpopular speech, not popular speech. We need more people who are saying things that we don't agree with. We need to listen, to be around people that's my recommendation. The intellectual health of this country is deteriorating because everybody wants to sit around with their group talking about how right they are. Now, while I'm waiting for calls, 202-588-0893, I'm going to start. So what's the big story of the week? And you know, my take is always different, right? The big story is Signal, this Signal group. It's on night and day, it's on news. The Trump, they bombed Yemen. And before they bombed Yemen, they had this Signal, which is an app, which I have the app on my phone. And they were talking about what they were doing. And they were going to give, they were giving information back and forth. And they shouldn't have been doing that on this app. And so it's terrible and people should resign. Now, if you know me, you know I got a different take. Okay. What is it they were talking about doing on that app? They were talking about bombing the poorest country in the Middle East. And why, might I ask? What problem do they have with the poorest country in the Middle East? Israel, and by extension, the United States, is committing a genocide again. They took a little break from the genocide, but the genocide's back. And Yemen's argument is, they've got a number of arguments. Number one, morally, we should do the right thing and try to stop the genocide, whatever we can do. Spiritually, we are Muslims, and we believe that it is our godly duty to stop this evil from happening. So they've got a spiritual, they got a moral reason, and a legal reason. They argue that legally, under international law, if there is a genocide being committed, every country is required to do whatever they can to stop it. And the International Criminal Court or Court of Justice, whatever one it is, has found probable cause and or reasonable suspicion that a genocide may be happening. And since we have the legal foundation, we have a duty. So they have a number of arguments for their actions, which I find credible arguments. You may not, somebody else may not, they seem credible to me. So the United States then decided, well, you're not allowed to stop a genocide. We're going to bomb you. And by bomb you, we mean we're going to kill a bunch of innocent civilians. Okay. And the only thing the news can find to criticize is that they didn't use the right app to discuss the slaughter of innocent civilians who are fighting to stop a genocide. And all day long, I got to turn on the stinking news, which I don't, can't watch the news. Well, somebody should resign. And I would say, I agree, because they have attacked Yemen. And the president is not allowed to start a war. The executive branch is not allowed to start a war. Constitutional requirements are that the executive branch must go to Congress, and only Congress can declare a war. So you're right. They should be all over them. No, no, no. That's not a problem. Go ahead. Number one. Number two, even if you did have a reason, it has to be very, very specific. You have to attack military targets, and they're very specifically bombing civilian targets. That ain't a problem. Turn on the news, you're not going to find that as a problem. What is the problem? Well, if you think about how twisted this is where our country is. This is how twisted and evil our government is. They could have compromised the mission by using an app signal that is not, that is, you know, people could have possibly gotten information to. They shared the information. Well, bad news for you. I wish they would compromise the mission, because I despise the mission. The mission is evil. The mission is criminal. The mission is murderous, and it's horrible. So I wish, let me go one other direction on it. Not only is it wrong and evil and criminal and murderous, I think we should know. Our government, we're going to go bomb a country, okay. And we don't have any constitutional authority to do so, all righty. And we're going to attack innocent civilians. You're not looking good, but okay, I'm listening. And we want to make sure nobody knows about it. We got to talk about it in secret. I personally think that the American people should have a right to hear it first. I personally think it shouldn't be on Signal app. It should be sent out to everyone. Hey, everybody, we're thinking of attacking another country. What do you think? And I think Americans would then say, we don't want another war. So I got to turn on the news. This crap. And they don't discuss that the president just started another war without constitutional authority. Nah, no interest in that on the mainstream news. They don't discuss that we're slaughtering innocent civilians. Yeah. They don't discuss the fact that the reason we're attacking a country is because that country is trying to stop a genocide that we are participating in. Nope. We could have compromised the mission by sharing information that, in my opinion, should have been shared everywhere. Most of it, they should have said, American people, we're going to go start another war. What do you think? No, don't do that. They should have said, American people, by the way, the war we're going to start is against the poorest country in the Middle East. Oh, by the way, American people, if you read what they were talking about, we're just doing it to like show a force, you know, to just like bravado, rah-rah, look at us. And we're going to attack civilian targets. I think that should have been out. Sorry, I'm not one saying, oh, they shouldn't have done that on the Signal app because they could have compromised the mission. I oppose the mission and I oppose the secrecy. I think the government should tell us. So if you're one who you're upset because they used the wrong app when they were out there bombing another poor brown country, I don't know. I just think maybe you've been misled. I think maybe you're being dragged down the wrong alley. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. See, I hate to be, one note Johnny, but I'm a person that doesn't believe the government. I don't believe them. So when they tell me something, that's why I'm not a member of a party. When they tell me something, I don't believe them. Okay? So I don't care which party is. I never believe them. Okay, so here's where we are. We got some callers. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. And look, just so you'll know, this is critical. Don't set the phone down. Don't, like, when after you talk to Kalia, don't, like, just set the phone down and say, I listen to the radio or the computer. I'll wait to hear my name. No, hold the phone to your ear once you go on hold, because we have a 10-second delay, and I'll call your name and you won't hear me because you set the phone down. That's number one. Hold the phone to your ear and turn the radio off, because if I talk to you, 10-second delay, I'll hear my voice 10 seconds later and it'll screw us all up. All right, 202-588-0893. My main man, Kalia, is in the studio making it happen. First caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I don't know if I'm first or not. Am I?
You are numero uno today. You are first in line.
Okay, wonderful. I just want to say the person that got the information, who is the head of Atlantic Journal?
Yeah. Let me tell you one little thing about him.
Jeff Goldblum.
Do you know much about him?
He is so pro-Israeli. Maybe they just figured that he would just. It was safe to say it in front of him. They figured wrong, but maybe that's what their figuring was. That he's so pro-Israel, and the media itself is pretty pro-Israel anyway. They still don't use the word genocide on most newscasts, including, unfortunately, public broadcast newscasts and public stations, because the newscasters don't know that maybe it's because newscasters don't know they're not supposed to use it, or maybe because everybody is pro-Israel, or we have lost the ability to be neutral. I don't know.
They want their jobs. They want their jobs, brother. They're going to get fired if they tell the truth about Israel. If they say something critical about Israel, they'll be fired.
Right. I'm saying the ones that use it, sometimes they don't know. I think that most black people, including myself, when this thing started, we heard only Israeli propaganda. I did not know. I should have. But I did not know that these were people in prison in their own land who were denied food and water and had segregation and, just not liberty, but imprisonment just for talking about wanting to be free before. Because all we get, including in movies, you were talking about movies one time before, but I'm telling you, every movie that has an Israeli Mossad agent in it is that Mossad agent is a hero. So, it just is the way we are programmed in this country. And I'm sorry to say this, but we don't know what's up. And we reverse. What's good is bad, and what's bad is good. I give the Yemenis props for doing what nobody else is doing and what everybody should be doing. Well, I'll say the Lebanese. One Lebanese group, also Hezbollah, is doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is stopping a genocide. And legally, the United States should be held, especially since they're giving 2,000. I just want to remind people, 2,000-pound bombs, and we give them 4,000-pound bombs also, kill you 900, three football fields away. It can kill you. And we give four. There is no reason that Kamala or anybody else should say someone who gets $4.7 billion worth of our equipment, military killing equipment, is defending themselves when they're not going through the tunnels and they're not risking their lives. If they can't bomb them from the air and kill them, they're going to kill the people and say, oh, it's Hamas's fault. Bull tinkle. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Well, and here's the reality. You know what? Here's the reality. The president of, pick a black country, Ghana, Liberia, whatever. I can say, oh, I sure despise the government of Ghana, whatever, Zimbabwe. I can say I hate them. I can name them one by one. Oh, they're terrible. I can call them every name in the book. Pick any black country, Muslim country too. Oh, I despise this country. I can talk about how much I hate Trump or Biden or Kamala Harris, despise them. They're horrible. They're evil ways. Say it about Israel. Say it about Israel. To go, say the same thing I said about the, why is it that I can say it about a black country? I can say it about my own country. But if I say it about Israel, it gets reinterpreted, even though I'm talking about a government and government policy of a particular country. Now, what did they have to do? The government now says, no. If you criticize the government of Israel, we will reinterpret it as anti-Semitism.
Even if you're Jewish.
And then we can go after you. You hate Jews. And if you say, well, wait a minute, can I just say without saying anything about names, just, nope, you're not allowed to. What about black countries? I'll go right ahead, Red. You can call them every name in the book, but not Israel. Black folks, it don't matter. In my own country, I can do it. It's inexcusable, and there will be at some point a backlash for that. That's the unfortunate thing about it.
Yeah. Even if you're Jewish, you can't criticize Israel, apparently. They're expelling people at Columbia who are Jewish.
Look, they're grabbing up Jewish people, rabbis who are opposed to Israel. They drag them away and beat them as anti-Semitism. So if you're a rabbi and you are opposed to Trump, who is an avowed Zionist, but he ain't Jewish. But if you're a rabbi, you're guilty of anti-Semitism for pushing back against Trump's pro-Israel policies. That's the crazy world we're in, my brother.
Yeah, they get a lot of money. Even Trump got a lot of money from billionaire Jewish people who are making a lot of money through Israel. But what can you say? If I say that, I would be
thrown out of the country.
Anti-Semitic. Yeah.
Well, the country, because we have a crisis of intellectualism. We have an anti-intellectual. Intellectualism says you should be able to talk about anything and have a philosophical and intellectual discussion, but not in America. No. That's not the direction we're allowed to go. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
What's going on, Garland? It's Max calling from Maryland.
Talk to me, Max.
So, we'll talk about the Yemen and the Israel stuff another time. So last week, just a couple people came on your page and they said things that were incorrect. A couple things. One was one guy said that the voting machines, were rigged by, to help Trump win. That's actually not true. Even the voter suppression stuff that I talked about was not rigged voting machines. So that's false. And then one guy also came on and said Al Gore started election denialism. That was false, too. Al Gore asked for a recount in Florida, but he didn't deny the election. He accepted the election.
Well, I'll add this. There were recounts that were done actually afterwards. And, for instance, the Miami paper did one that actually showed that Al Gore did win.
Yeah.
The recounts that were done, actually, they went. What's interesting about that is they went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that they couldn't continue the recount because it would hurt George W. Bush. And I'm thinking, yeah, of course it would hurt him because he probably didn't win. The Supreme Court stopped the recount. So in my opinion, in that instance, in a razor thin election, where the election was, 424 points or whatever, if somebody said, I think I was robbed, as close as that election was, whether you agree with them or not, I think it's not unreasonable for somebody to claim that a presidential election that was decided by 400 votes was been, you know what I'm saying? And then let me add this.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the ballots in Florida?
No,
the ballots were all, they had like the names and it was a mess. So, yeah, I think that there was a lot of chicanery that went on in Florida, enough that people had every right to claim that something was rotten in Denmark in 2000. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And I would want to go farther than that. The guy who talked about the voting machines, after that, you kind of started saying that Democrats were still denying the election. So like I don't really think like one person in Germany who you were talking to last week is indicative of the Democratic caucus or politicians. No Democrat in Congress, the House, Biden, Kamala, none of them denied the election. They executed their duty. And even when Hillary,
I agree. If I throw something in, I got to throw something in. I'll let you keep going. I agree with you on that. We're in agreement. Yeah. But I know a lot of people in the street. I hear it myself from people. So anecdotally speaking, I agree. The government, the Democratic Party as a party overall are like, yeah, we lost. I mean, they got blown out. So they're like, yeah, we lost. But I know a lot of people on the street. I mean, I hear stuff like, oh, yes, it was stolen. And I'm like, yeah, dude, you lost by too much. Just, you know, bite the bullet. So you are right.
Yeah.
The party leadership has accepted that they lost, but a lot of folks on the street just emotionally, I think, can't handle it, to be quite frank.
Well, and you're kind of just playing into this whole, you're kind of helping me out here. So even if we go back to 2016, right, because I was reading up on that because the illegitimate president stuff and, you know, Russian interference. So, yeah, there's no proof of a handshake between Trump and Putin. They never proved that. But we do know, and Russia didn't alter the voter tallies either. No one was really insinuating that. We know there was sensitive data, but she didn't. Hillary conceded. She acknowledged she lost as well. There were no court cases. So this kind of just leads me to where we lose the plot on these issues. Is that
if we go wait a minute, I'll let you go, but I want to say this. There is evidence that the significant evidence that the government, that a lot of entities within the government, in fact, there was two investigations, and the last one was the John Durham investigation, in which John Durham found that his finding was that there was no basis to even start an investigation against Trump for Russian interference. That was the final. I know because I read it. So
I mean, Mueller,
you're right. Hillary she accepted on the day that she left. You know, she came out the next day and gave the speech.
Yeah, she
but she always insinuated that it was the Russians. It was the Russians. And I thought that was unfair. She should have just came out and said, I lost. So I do consider that election denialism. But go ahead.
I mean, I wouldn't just because she still conceded. And
yeah.
I would say that ultimately, you know, even though, like I said, Mueller never found a handshake, right? And I don't think this altered the election. I think Trump would have won either way. I'm just saying ultimately Mueller's findings still found many contacts between the Trump campaign and the Russian government.
You know what I'm saying? That means nothing.
I mean, it does.
Contacts between the Russian government. One of the contacts that they found was, one of the contacts that they found was that someone in the Trump administration contacted the Russian ambassador to try to influence them for a vote about Israel. Well, okay, that's a contact.
Well, it wasn't even that.
But what does that show? They're trying to influence to say, hey, can you vote on behalf of Israel? So when you say there's a contact, the fact of the matter is this. Isn't it kind of your job, if you're the president, to contact ambassadors and people from other countries?
But that part is, but we know for a fact that Trump Jr. received an email from members of actually the Russian government and a Russian lawyer about leaking dirt.
I know, you're talking about the Natalia Veselnitskaya. I know because I interviewed her myself.
She's a lawyer.
And I know that case, so there was nothing there either. That's the infamous Trump Tower meeting where she was, did you know this? That the information that she offered to the Trump campaign at the Trump Tower meeting, when they wouldn't take it, she offered it to the U.S. Congress. She then said to Congress, I would like to present this information to you, U.S. Congress, and they refused to hear it. So tell me, if she offered what she was going to offer to Trump and then offered it to the U.S. Congress, how is that? And she was a lawyer. And involved in a legal case in New Jersey representing a Russian company, not the government. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll have to read into that a little more, I guess, and come back with you on that one. But I would just say that the specific kind of point of where we led up, where we talked about 2000, this previous election, 2016, my final, the real point of why I called you today was to say 2020. 2020 was ultimately unprecedented. Two black women got death threats. Arizona Elections Commission's got death threats. People were protesting with Confederate flags. That is a historic symbol of voter suppression. Every time they told Trump, why are you lying? Why do you continue to promote these false claims? He said, I don't care. They need to change the rules. They need to change it and keep me in office. They're not doing the right thing. When they threatened to kill Mike Pence on certification day, he said, so what? And then for 3 hours, he called lawmakers asking them to block the certification. That is a clear sign of obstruction of an official proceeding. It is an unprecedented assault on democracy, and now he's taking actions over the next course of these next 4 years to try to suppress voters. So
I'm going to throw something else at you. I want you to answer this because this is there's a fundamental issue that you and I have that I have with a lot of people, Democrats and Republicans.
Yep.
We live in a country where they shot the president, and there's ample evidence that the CIA was involved in it, right? We live in a country where there's a book out in about 1980 where the CIA chief worked with the Reagan administration to stop the hostages from being released by the Iranian revolution at the embassy, right, to help. So the CIA in 1980 worked with Ronald Reagan to try to get Reagan elected, which interference by the CIA. I could go on and on and on. So my point is this. I don't believe we live in a democracy. I believe they robbed Bernie in 2016, so the Democrats thwarted democracy. I believe in 2020, they robbed Bernie again. The Democratic Party stepped in on behalf of Biden the day before, 2 days before Super Tuesday. So my point is this.
Yeah.
There's so much chicanery by the ruling elite in the elections. When it comes down to it, I don't believe we have a democracy because I don't think the people choose the candidates that are the final two candidates anyway. Anyway, go ahead. Do you think that's a credible argument? You may not agree with it, but do you think there's a credible argument?
I'll extend an olive branch to you. I am a Bernie bro. He's the most sincere Democrat I've probably ever listened to. I think it's just still, even though I can say one thing is bad, that doesn't mean when someone does something that's 10 times worse, right? Not a private party primary, an actual federal election to disenfranchise millions of votes, calling votes in counties that were historically black voting Democratic counties, to call those votes fraudulent votes and then to support Confederate flag protests.
Wait a minute, a primary is not a federal
election?
It's a pure
symbol of suppression and bigotry. What?
You said a federal election. The primary is a federal election. Let me ask you this. What difference would it make? Well, let me ask you this. This is the last question because I got other callers. What, to me, I don't see a difference. If in fact the people in a party want Max and I'm able to manipulate things so that Garland becomes the nominee, and then I say the other guy stole it. Well, my party does not have democracy, so we don't really have standing to even argue. We robbed you before you got to the bank. The other guy waited until after you got to the bank and robbed you. You get the final answer. We got a couple more callers. Go ahead, Max, and I appreciate the call.
I think just the difference ultimately will be is that he never conceded. He spread numerous false claims. He pressured legislatures. And then in the specific wing, right, some people were able to get into the Capitol and roamed around. They were guiding them. But in that specific wing of the Capitol where that brutal fight broke out, that could have given them access to getting to the members of the legislature. And at that point, Trump would have literally put the foot down and said, overturn the results, use the fake slates of electors.
Well,
and
that is, like that.
That is a direct violation of the 12th Amendment.
I think January 6th has been rejected by the voters. And if their plan is to move forward in the future with January 6th, I'm just going to say this, Max, that ain't a good plan. It didn't work.
Well, they need to move on from
January 6th.
I have a rebuttal to that, though. People make
unfortunately, we got
time.
Other callers, so I've given
Electric
you a lot of
Trump
time. And I always try to give you plenty
vote.
Of time, Max. But we'll talk again next week. 202-588-0893. Max disagrees with me. I give him a little extra time. I certainly appreciate it. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Uh-oh. I think somebody set the phone down, and they are listening to their radio or computer. Yeah, that's right. I can hear it in the background. So let me just remind everybody, keep the phone to your ear and turn down the radio or computer in the back. All right, let's go to the next caller. The number is 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Is that me?
I hope it is. What's happening? You're on the air.
Okay. it was quite an exchange with second to the last caller last week, right? It was quite an exchange, man. but Garland, you just So honestly, you may not believe it and you may not like to agree. You come across as, you know, if you just hate the Democrats with all to the marrows of your bone and then just love the Republicans. Once a question is asked about Donald Trump or the Republicans, you just deflect it with them. The speed you deflect it with, just listen to your,
give me an example. I can't think of that, but give me an example. What?
Last week, somebody asked you, was talking about it, and you just deflected it and moved to something.
I don't understand what you're saying. Let me tell you this. I'm going to let you go. I'm just to say this. If somebody asked me a question, I'm just going to give them an honest answer of what I think. I don't know what else to do.
Listen to, for instance, listen to last week's, go to your archives and listen to your last week's program. But anyway, that's just by the way, that exchange was just so interesting, fascinating.
Well, you know, throw something else at you. You know, here's the thing I'm not a member of either party. I believe that our government does terrible things and goes around the world and starts wars and kills people. And I don't separate the two parties. I don't like either one of them. I wouldn't be part of either one of these two evil parties.
That's okay. Let me deal with what two points I called about. Does it mean that none of these fascist conservatives, come Republicans, or even the Democrats, knows really how the social security system works, let alone, its history? It's just ridiculous. Social security, anybody who works or pays them taxes, is further subjected to another 15 or so % deductibles for his or her paycheck every week, 2 weeks or a month. Same goes for Medicare. But Medicare deductions are less than the Social Security ones. In other words, the federal government deducts them from one's paychecks and at least up to 20 to 30% of it, saves it and invests it for him or her for retirement. So for 40 or 50 or more years, depending on how long the person works before retirement, his or her deducted and invested Social Security and Medicare money is yielding interest. If you add the power of compound interest over the long years, he or she should have a retirement benefit slash pays that time should equal or even exceed what he or she made when working. But guess what? The government takes a sizable chunk of the return on investment and pays the person a starvation Social Security every month.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but additionally, the government takes a big part of the Social Security money. Did you know that? They actually take some of the money out of Social Security, move it to the other budget, and spend it on other things.
There you go. Okay, but why do this? These are fat, rich boys and girls who have never worked a day in their lives. Think the person is getting a handout or a welfare money. I find it difficult to believe that these are mostly Ivy League and educated people don't, have a clue what I'm talking about.
I would say this. It's not that they don't have a clue. It's that we live in a system, and what this system does is our economic system takes money from the poor and the working class
and moves it into the hands of the wealthy.
That's exactly what it does best. It takes our money, it extracts money from poor people and gives it to rich. It does it here in the United States, then it goes to Africa, it goes to South America, it goes to other countries. It takes their oil, it takes their gold, it takes their bananas, it takes their uranium. It goes around the world and steals money from poor countries and brings it here. And now what it does is it steals money from poor people in the United States and does the same thing.
Also, unfortunately, even in his own country.
Yeah.
Thank you. Remind us. By the way, I should have added, you know, at the beginning that you are letting the guy who disagreed with you to have his day and say whatever he wants to say is the more reason why you should be doing what you are doing forever. You should be at that station and doing this program forever. That's the moral reason why, my brother. But then, why?
All right, the big question is,
why somebody said Social Security is a pyramid scheme? Why are nobody saying anything?
Well, and the person that said it, wait a minute, the person that said it.
I said it today.
Person that said it is the richest man in the world. That's who said it. The person who said it is the richest man in the world. Why did he say that? Because rich folks want that money. They want to get their hands on that money. That's more money sitting there, and they want to get it.
Even the Democrats, the so-called Democrats, are letting him do it. And even we who are affected are letting them do it. Okay, go ahead.
They ain't gonna fight. But you know what? Let me tell you, people say the Democrats won't fight. And here's what I say. You want to make the Democrats fight? You know what'll make the Democrats fight Trump? If he tries to take money from the defense budget. Oh boy, they're gonna be mad then. They can take your Social Security, they can rob you blind, they can ship you or throw you out the country, they can do anything they want. The Democrats ain't gonna fight that. You let Trump start saying, you know what? I think we should lower, not that he's gonna do it, but I'm just saying, if he says, I think we should stop spending so much money on war. Oh, they'll impeach him. They'll throw him out. They'll try to choke him to death with their bare hands, because that's what they really stand for. They stand for their donors. None of them, Democrats, Republicans, none of them stand for us. None of them. Go ahead. You get the last word, brother.
Another thing that everybody is keeping quiet that is driving me nuts is this. It took centuries, if not millennium, of trials and errors for democracy and the civil service to be adopted as the best form of government. They were supposed to be neutral, impartial, and non-partisan, hence a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It doesn't belong to any king or queen or nobility at aristocracy, nor to the merchants, oligarchs, Christians, Protestants, or Muslims. It is for everybody, and its main purpose is to serve the people without fear or favor.
All right, I got to get ready to run.
For the common good.
All right, thanks for the call. Thank you very much. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Before I go to the next caller, I'll just say this real quick. I know that ideally the government is supposed to be for the people, by the people, is supposed to stand up for the people and all that kind of stuff. It is my opinion that the government we have is a government of the ruling elite. They don't work for us. They work to keep us at bay, that they are paid by, owned by, and nothing but avatars for. They are cartoonish figures, in my opinion, who work for the ruling elite. And their job is to make us think they're working for them, for us. Their job is to keep us at bay. Why do you think every time a tax cut comes through, it all goes to the rich? Why do you think look, in 2008, the crash, what did they do? Did they bail the people out? No. They bailed the banks out. You had 5.7 million families thrown out of their houses. Now, the government paid for those houses. The government could have said to everybody in 2008, you're getting thrown out your house, here's the money, we're paying for it. But they didn't, did they? The government went to the banks that had the mortgages and said, all these people that owe you for these houses, here's the money for the houses. So the government, instead of giving you the money, so you could have had kept your house instead of getting thrown out, they gave the money to the banks and these people get thrown out. And the bank then repossessed the house anyway and sold it a second time. And you know what the bank did? They said, look, we made a profit. Look, our gross domestic product is up. We're on a recovery. What a crime. We get screwed. But you know what? But the bank made money twice, and 5.7 million families lost their houses. And that was under Obama. That was under a Democrat. It don't matter who it is to me. People are like, what happens is people are like this. I put the Democrats down, can't stand them. Put the Republicans down, can't stand them. But you have people who, if you're a Republican, you're like, he's criticizing the Republicans. He must be a Democrat. And if you're a Democrat, it's like, he's criticizing the Democrat. He must be a Republican. There is no concept in their brain, in their mind, of someone like me who hates both parties. And I just call it like I see it. And you get caught up in, anyway, 202-588-0893. My main man, Kalia, is making this show happen. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Garland, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What's happening?
Yeah, I just want to piggyback off what you said. Like when Trump got into office and he was trying to make a plan to stop the war, you said if he does it, that's to be a great job.
Yes, I did.
And okay. And then just a few minutes ago, you were stating that all the Democrats had to do was speak about this, what's been going on through the text and all this and that, if they wanted to do something.
I said, that's what they should know. I said, this is my opinion on that. And I don't expect the Democrats ever to push back against war. I don't expect the Republicans. Our parties are two war parties. I say people should speak back, but I don't expect either one of these parties to push back against war. That's what they do. It's just a big war machine. Continue.
Yeah. But once again, you blaming the Democrats for not stepping up instead of putting the blame on Trump for even having this discussion.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying these are two war parties. He's going to bomb. He's bombing Yemen. Terrible thing. The Democrats won't even say don't do it. Terrible thing. So who am I standing up for? This is a war machine. They're working together to do an evil war. I think that's a terrible thing. How does that mean that I'm standing up for one versus the other?
Because the way you talk about Biden, he's a warmonger. He's a but I don't hear you saying that tempo against Trump.
I just said it to you a second ago.
No, look,
when Trump came in, what I said was, if he stops these wars, forget Trump, anyone who stops a war, I'm in favor
of. Once again.
Anyone, I don't care who it is.
You don't want to say his name anymore. You said forget Trump.
Whose name?
You don't even want to talk about it. Come on, man.
No, because I wanted to make I wanted to make a point. My point is, I'm opposed to war. I'm opposed to war. No, so it's not like it matters to me who the president
really is.
I get angry at any president who says they want war. I'm happy
really
anytime they say they're going to stop a war. But I never get to be happy because they never stop a war. Go ahead.
No, you're just an undercover Republican. You don't want to admit
But I hate the Republican Party the same as the Democratic Party. That makes me an undercover Republican, right?
So what's your plan? Because you get on.
I wish I had one.
Go back.
My plan is to oppose evil. I do it as best I can. I oppose war.
You and Max get on the mic and y'all just start screaming at each other back and forth. But what is the solution? I mean, he talk about something that really ain't going to change nothing. And you're speaking about things that ain't going to change.
Well, at least we're talking. There's something to do. What's wrong with that? Is there something wrong? We shouldn't talk? Or should I just have 30 minutes of blank air? I got to talk about something. Why not that?
No, talk about.
What would you have me talk about?
Talk about solutions. The things you talk about ain't going to help nobody because you're not talking about change.
Okay. Well, that's all right. I don't necessarily say I'm trying to help anybody. I'm just trying to say what I got to say. I got something to say. Sometimes people just talk because they got something to say.
Make it honest. Make it real. You know, if you got
it is honest.
Say what's
it's real to me.
Nah, man, you jiving, man.
Okay, well, what's wrong with jiving? I love music. What's wrong with jiving?
You got people losing their jobs. You got people.
Yes, terrible. I've talked about that. It's horrible. It's unthinkable.
I mean, what's the solution?
I can't fix that. I'm not the president. I can't fix that. I don't have a solution for that. I wish I did. That's the way this system works. We are in a system that screws over the working class people and gives everything to the rich. I wish I could do something about this system. I can't fix that. But you're on the, let me ask you this. You're on. I put you on. You tell me. You're saying, I wish I had a whatchamacallit, but you're on. You tell me, what do you think people should do? What can somebody do different? I don't have an answer. Maybe you have one. You're on. Go for it.
I think we should try to get a party that's for the people, by the people.
I'm with you on that one, brother. I'm with you on that one. Look, but my only thing is this. I don't know how good a president JFK was, but when he went wrong, they put a bullet in him. We're in a nasty situation, brother. This is a very nasty country. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. I mean, sadly, we're in a country where if people really try to do the right thing, the CIA will kill them. What do you think about that?
That's facts. That's real. You know what I mean? Now you're really talking real facts right there, you know? But we haven't seen nothing yet. You know, we haven't suffered anything like the other countries have suffered. And God help us if we have to.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Well, thank you. Certainly appreciate the call and call back again. All right. Next caller, you're there. What's your name? Where you calling from? Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yeah. My name is Joseph. I'm calling out of Landover.
All right, Joseph. I'm all ears. What's happening?
Yes, sir. I want to say, man, I appreciate you for being non-biased. I really do, man, because I don't know what spell I feel like people are under right now, or just, I guess, for the last 50, 60 years, because we're so beholden to a party that really hasn't shown to be worthy of our, you know, loyalty, to be honest. And I really feel like we should be playing both sides against each other for our votes. And when I say our, I mean, you know, African-Americans in particular. You know, it's just very disheartening to see people come at you that way. You know, I like to say this. One comes out as a wolf. The other comes out as a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, we have to be able to discern the difference. And honestly, I feel like if there was a black party, we might be better off. I'm not going to lie. And use
well, you
those
know,
two parties
Malcolm,
together for our vote.
You know, Malcolm X said back in the, early 60s, he said, you know, the two parties, one of them's the wolf and one of them's the fox. And he said, the fox looks like he's smiling at you. He says, but he wants the same thing. He wants to make you his meal. Back in the early 60s, he mentioned the two-party system. W.E.B. Du Bois said it way back. I don't know when the heck it was.
Yes,
you know, so, you know, people have seen it for many, many years that there's a two-party system for, you know, long time that is not working out for not just black folks, for the working class. So I would say my opinion is, a lot of people do say we need a black party. My opinion more is, we need a party of the working people that is not led by these Harvard and Yale people who call themselves the ruling elite. They went to Harvard, they went to Yale, they went to whatever, and they think they're, no, we don't need to be led by those people anymore. Those people have led us down a trash, down a path of garbage.
Right.
We need a regular people's party, in my opinion.
I totally agree. And, you know, I wish in the perfect world, I feel like that would work. I'm being honest with you. But me, personally, and I'm speaking from my parents were foreigners from this country. They were Ethiopian, you know, and I'm speaking from a different standpoint, but I grew up in an African-American community. So my viewpoint is a little bit different because I see my people doing their own thing. I see a lot of races doing their own thing in this country, you see. But I feel like African-Americans were somewhat forced to join the federal government in the 60s, you know, when you know, Martin Luther King was pressured by LBJ and the union, you know, to accept these certain things, like, you know, having a one white delegate at one time when they wanted to have two black delegates at that, when they had the opportunity, you know, during that time. He was under so much pressure under the union and LBJ, and they were funding the civil rights movement at one point in time. You see, I feel like they were almost cornered into joining the federal government. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but you can't go to your oppressor to solve the problem. You see, you should.
You make a good point, my friend. All right. Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate the call. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. I think it's important, though, for people to call in and say, I disagree with you, Garland. What I find interesting is this, something I've run into before I go to my last call. I know Republicans, and I'll say, yeah, I can't stand it. Oh, you're just a Democrat. You're always making excuses for the Democrats, right? Then Democrats will call in, you're just a Republican. You love the Republican, right? And it's what's interesting. I think I'm glad of that. I think that's a good thing to me for this reason, because both of them are in a binary mindset that says it's either or. Either you love the Republicans or the Democrats. So if they find somebody that doesn't like the Republicans, they assume they like the Democrats. Or they don't hear criticism of the Republicans, then you must be a Democrat. If they don't hear criticism of the Democrats, or if they hear criticism of their own party, then you must be the own part, a good party. So I think the fact that I get Republicans telling me, oh, you love the Democrats, and Democrats telling me you love the Republicans, you know what? In a paradoxical way, it makes me feel like I'm doing something right. 202-588-0893. We got any more callers? Yes, we do. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? You're on the air, caller.
Yes, is that me?
Yeah, I think it is.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, yes, this is Awesome Rita calling from D.C. Thank you so much for taking my call. Unfortunately, I am not one of those individuals that disagree with you. I wish that I could disagree with you. However, everything that you says makes absolute sense. I guess I was a Democrat, but learning and listening to different platforms of news media, I have been enlightened. And I definitely agree with the last caller. The caller before that got me a little upset because he's waiting on solutions and he's asking you for solutions. But then when you ask him for solutions, it's the same thing. We need to create our own party. Yes, we know that, right? We know that the two-party system is failing us. I think majority of everybody that has common sense, it's not common. It's unique sense. But
how about this? Common sense is not often common practice.
I like that. Okay. I've been saying that it's unique sense, but I like that too. But it's just mind-boggling how individuals really are not, and they're showing that they're not paying attention to what's going on, and that they are feeding into everything that the two-party system is giving them, right? Please do your own resource search. It is in us to find the solution. And unfortunately, like you said, and we do have a candidate that is for the people, they get axed out. So we kind of got to keep it underground. We kind of have to figure out a way to do a Harriet Tubman situation and get our people out of here, get our people out of this situation. And I do like the idea of Black people having their own party. Unfortunately, I know that it's not just going to take us. I think that a lot of us understand that it's not just going to take Black people. We have to have everybody involved.
Whenever somebody says Black people, I change that and I say working people, just regular working class people. I don't care if they're Black, green, gray, or grizzly. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because if you ever get around rich people, they understand that they all have something in common and they need to look out. So the ruling, absolutely, the super wealthy class all work together. I don't care who they are. They work together to make sure things going to work out for them, right? But the poor and the working folks, they get the Black folks fighting against the Koreans, hating the Jewish people, hating the white folks, he's a Trump supporter. Oh, no, that person's unvaccinated. They always got a reason for working class people to hate each other, but they all stick together. And my point is, if we all stick together, it's more of us than there is of them. What do you think?
It's of them. Absolutely. It's more of us it truly, truly is. Even if we're just talking about minorities, right? It's more of us than it is of them. If we're talking about the working class, it's more of us than it is of them. But always, people get so caught up in playing these sides, and I got to get with this side. Oh, no. Well, yeah. I agree with one thing or a partial thing that this side is saying. So, oh, no, I'm all for this side until it hits their front door. Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, I got to run, but we got to go. I got to get ready to go. I want to thank you very much for calling. I want to thank everybody. My main man, Kalia, is doing a fantastic job as always. And don't forget, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me, GarlandN. That's my first name and the first letter of my last name, GarlandN@gmail.com. You can find me on YouTube. I have my YouTube show where I'm on pretty much every day with lots of YouTube shows out there. And you can find me on Facebook, Garland Nixon, Instagram, Garland.Nixon, and Telegram @GarlandN. Peace. I'm out.